Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Located on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Chris Wheeler was on in the previous half hour talking about Phillies baseball. They play the Mets tonight. And off that interview, in my opinion, there's a lot to talk about. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565.
Where do you start? That was an interview full of stuff, though.
Where do we start?
Yeah. I mean, where do you start? There's a lot
to
discuss.
Let's start
there.
With the questions that were eliminated from the interview that you submitted.
Oh, okay, great.
Right? Uh-huh. Can I be the bat boy? I mean, come on. Why ask?
No. I didn't say bat boy. I said bat guy.
There is no bat guy.
I know that.
You're a bat boy.
I know, but I was a little too old for that, so I decided to reword it.
I mean, I can't put stuff like that in there. Will you scout my kid? Well, what does that mean? Again, looking for the free way out instead of working your way through life and supporting him.
Yes, it's the American way.
Roy Halladay's being examined today. Maybe before the broadcast tonight, they'll have an idea as to how it went. Really, there's been a concern surrounding him since the early days of spring training. Hamels has been great. Hamels has been fantastic for years. They have to figure out how to sign him.
Well, if there is a Halladay long-term injury, I think that's a foregone conclusion at this point that they'll sign him.
Nothing's a foregone conclusion. You don't know. This is, look, you're talking about a left-handed starting pitcher. If the Yankees want to throw a $25 million a year deal at him, the Phillies are not going to match that.
I don't know.
They're not going to match it. Not at that number. They got Lee for 21. They're on the hook for a lot of cash right now. All right, let's go to Terry in Sunbury at 1-800-795-9565. Hi, Terry.
Steve, good afternoon. A couple things on my mind. First of all, I just wanted to tell you I've been wanting to do this for some time. Today seemed to be the day to do it. I've enjoyed when, and I guess I assume you're still going to be the voice of Penn State football, but the years you've did it over the past decade or however many years you were doing it was just outstanding. I can't relate anybody else doing it. I can't relate Penn State football to anybody else but you, but it was an outstanding job, and I just wanted to thank you for that. That's my first thing.
Well, thank you, Terry. Terry, and yes, I am continuing on as the play-by-play voice of
Penn
State football.
I tried to talk working a trade with him, but he wasn't interested. So.
Oh, the second thing, your Joe Paterno thing here over the holiday, that's my main thrust of my call. It's just outstanding, and I salute you for doing it, especially with all the controversy behind it. And I just can't say enough about it. You're to be commended on that.
Thank you very much. It was certainly something that... As I did it, I found interesting, and parts of it I found to be painful because I remember him so well. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, and that was the entire purpose of it, to have him tell the story of his life.
Well, it was certainly a great thing. I don't think you'll find it anywhere else, so I think you're to be commended on it. Third thing, and I'm a little ignorant on this. First, Beaver Stadium. Now, I understood that there was a possibility that they were considering naming it Paterno Stadium. Am I correct about that? And then they turned it down?
Terry, a lot of people have talked about it. It has never come up for a vote or subject to a vote. And the Paterno family has always indicated that they really weren't that interested in it. And that it'll remain Beaver Stadium. And we'll see how everything goes in the next few months as to whether anybody decides to do anything else.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that. It has a lot of historical value, Beaver Stadium, and, of course, a landmark for sure. But, of course, it all was made possible in the football realm with Joe. And my wife and I were talking over the weekend, and she suggested, you know, that wouldn't it be neat to we have the stadium, but then there's the field. That's where he did his genius, call it Paterno Field in Beaver Stadium.
And that's certainly something that has been thought of. Actually, for me, Terry, I had thought of it the other way around. Beaver Field at Paterno Stadium. And the reason why is this. It was originally Beaver Field when it was on the other side of campus.
Oh, okay. Well, that even sounds even better yet. I just think Joe's name should be there somewhere. It's just has to have something done there. I know the issues with the family there, I'm sure, but you do your best to try to get something done. I think you have a little influence.
Well, I just feel very fortunate that I get to broadcast Penn State football and basketball, be a part of the Bill O'Brien era. And I think, Terry, as much as we've loved what we've watched on the football field for so many years, I think we're really going to enjoy what's coming up, too.
I understand. You've given some good indication of that. I'm looking forward to it, and it'll just preserve the program. I'm looking forward to it. I'm also honored. I'm not honored, but you have to be honored to have Kevin Herr there as your assistant.
Steve, that's your turn to talk now?
I'm supposed to respond now, Terry?
Right.
Well, I want to tell you something. He does, on our local football stuff, Harry, he is absolutely the best of the best. I mean, he can keep you on the edge of your seat. And, you know, for high school football, that's really saying something. Yeah. So my hat's off to you, too. Well, I'm going to get off of here now, let somebody else call in. And those are things that I wanted to say. And, again, Steve, thank you for your thought about Joe on his program over the holiday here, and I'm sure there are a lot of people thinking like I just didn't call in, and hats off to you and a salute. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Terry, very much. And, yes, Kevin is extremely valuable to me. So, did I say it the way you wanted me to?
Yes, thank you. That was word for word. You read it well.
Thanks.
No, and thank you, Terry. I appreciate that thought.
You misspelled tribute.
Spell checker missed it. I didn't. Again. Did you notice we've all become a society now that can't spell? If it weren't be for spell checker, it's like, how do you spell this word? I don't know. Go ahead and type it in Word, and spell checker will pick it up for you.
Well, it's better than having it misspelled.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I look at it. It's better than having it misspelled. So that doesn't bother me too much. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, and thank Terry for the wonderful call. I appreciate that very much, and yes, I am continuing on as the play-by-play voice of Penn State football. It turns out I'm on WKOK in Sunbury 5 days a week. Everybody who's involved in this business has to have a home base to operate from in this. And it turns out I'm lucky this is my home base. So
we're still trying to figure out a way to make you work on Sunday, too, but that's coming later.
Well, we may figure that out down the road. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. We can talk Penn State football if you wish. Working on getting Bill O'Brien on within the next 3 weeks, by the way.
You know, I wanted to ask you, what is his schedule like right now at this time of year?
Well, they have camps coming up. They have five camps coming up that I believe start this weekend. So there'll be involvement with the staff, with camps, and, of course, organization with camps. He has a little more free time this time of the year, but he's also working extensively, not just on looking at his football team, but he's starting to get a feel for the teams they're going to be playing. Now, what he's going to do is he's going to take a basketball model to scouting. He's going to assign one assistant coach to each opponent to be the primary on the scout. And that's what happens in basketball all the time. You'll hear Dick Girardi and I sit there and tell you, and in the postgame, you'll notice we'll have Brian Daly on. Or we'll have Keith Ergo on, or we'll have Gene Burrows on. You notice we don't have Patrick Chambers on in the postgame show.
I didn't notice that.
The reason we had the assistants on in the postgame, after having Patrick on in the pregame, and, of course, Patrick's also doing the talk show on Thursday night, is that we get the assistant coach who had the scout on the game. So it's Northwestern. Gene Burrows had the scout. He did the Northwestern scouts this year. So we'll have Gene on. And it's his job to take the tape, go through, break it down, know everything about Northwestern you can possibly find out, and then when it comes time to impart it to the team, it's his job. Bill's going to do the same thing in football with this schedule. He's going to take one assistant coach, and he is going to have that assistant coach be the one responsible for doing the scout on that game and giving the scout to the staff to work with. Now, the graduate assistants are the ones who then, at that point, have to then start relating this to the scout team itself. And that's how they're going to do it. And they'll divide it up that way. And that's the part that I think, you know, the fans, you know, I think it's a great way to do it, considering for this staff, except for Ron and Larry, everybody else, it's all brand new. Okay? It's all brand new for them. So, for example, Ted Roof is going to have the scout at Ohio University. Mac McWhorter will have Virginia. Larry Johnson's going to have Navy. Charles London's going to have Temple. Ron Vanderlinden will have Illinois. John Strollo will have Northwestern. Stan Hickson will have Iowa. John Butler's going to have Ohio State. Charlie Fisher's going to have Purdue. Jim Bernhardt, who's works in the front office, is going to have Nebraska. Bill Kavanaugh is going to have Wisconsin. And Darryl Wong, who's the director of football operations, is going to have Indiana. So, I mean, that's how they're going to break it down. It'll be their job to get everything possible anything they can find. Okay? Anything. Tape, clippings, whatever. Each coach is going to get assigned a team. And I think that's going to make the job. Now, Bill's going to look at every one of them himself anyway. I mean, every one of them is going to be, I mean, he'll be directly involved because he is a game plan guy when it comes to they're going to have a game plan offense and a game plan defense. But there's going to be a coach assigned to gathering whatever they can get on that opponent to give themselves a head start on this. Because when you've been in this for a while, and you play a team over and over again, take Ohio State. Well, personnel-wise, I could tell you what John Simon does, and a coach will take a tape. They already know what John Simon can do. Adrian Sabino, who's moved from outside to middle linebacker, they have a tendency as to how he plays the game. Orion Johnson, same thing. But when you have to face all new opponents, and that's what the staff has to do, they have to look at the tapes and start figuring out the tendencies themselves. Now, next year, and there'll be some changes next year, obviously, but they'll have a very good handle next year on Virginia, very good handle next year on Temple, and on the six primary Big Ten opponents, Ohio State, Indiana, Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. Next year, of course, we'll bring with it the change because Minnesota and Michigan will both enter the fray. But immediately, 8 of the 12 opponents that they have next year, they will now have that tendency handle that we're talking about. It'll make a big difference. That's why I'm expecting some great things from basketball this year, because the coaches will already have a feel for everybody on there. There'll be some non-conference teams they haven't faced before. But Duquesne will be back on. Boston College will be back on. All 11 Big Ten opponents, they already know. They now know the tendencies of a Cody Zeller, a Christian Watford, a Jordy Hulls, what they can and can't do. up close. I've seen him now three times in person. You have to fight through that first year when you're trying to figure out what your opponent can and can't do. And not only that, what makes it even more intriguing is that, I mean, look at, for example, at Ohio State, Urban Meyer is going to have a different style than Luke Fickell. Now, defensively, Fickell's the defensive coordinator. I can't believe you had me. You wanted me to ask Chris Wheeler about your kid. I can't.
I don't remember sending that. I don't recall that.
It was race weekend. You don't remember a lot of things that happened.
No, I remember a dumb pit stop strategy real well.
Will you scout my kid? Question 28. Question 29, please.
Question 30, do you need a partner for the next game?
I didn't submit that one. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Back with more after this on WKOK. Question 17 for Kevin Herr for Chris Wheeler. Can I get four tickets to the Mets series?
Well, I was trying to think of one for you as well. And I figured you'd want to bring a guest, so that's why I was going to only go for two, but then I was trying to think.
You don't think I can't call him and sit in the booth?
Well, I thought maybe you'd want to hang out with... Oh, forget it.
You wanted
me to say... I answered
my
own question.
You wanted me to say I was going to hang out with you.
I answered my own question.
I know you did. Yeah. Tomorrow, Guy Gadowski, Penn State men's ice hockey coach, talking about their varsity schedule. We'll have him on the show tomorrow. And later in the week, Coaches versus Cancer. We're also going to have a representative on from Shut Helmets on Thursday.
That should be interesting. Not that nothing else you just said wasn't, but I'm kind of looking forward to hearing about that.
Talking about what they can do to prevent as many concussions as possible in the sport. Shut, by the way, is the outlet for Penn State football helmets.
Many of the teams that are in this area, especially youth football-wise, I don't know about high school, but youth football have gone to the new Shut helmets and gone to the expense. And I'll tell you what, that's a high expense for a nonprofit organization to be able to foot the bill for. So
yeah, no question.
Remember that when a young man or a young lady comes up to you and says, hey, I have something I'd like to sell, raffle ticket, whatever, for this youth football organization. There's a lot of money that goes into those things.
Yeah. And so that's what we have on this week. We apologize again for the shabby guest list. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Our poll question, what would you like, if the Phillies could keep two out of three, which two would it be? Cole Hamels, Roy Halladay? Cole Hamels, Lee and Halladay. What would that combination be?
I really had to think about this one. That was actually a really, really good question.
Well, that was Philly.com. They're the ones that came up with it. And I will freely admit to you, I'm stealing it.
I mean, I have to lean toward Hamels. I'd hate to see him go. And
he's the youngest guy of the group.
Well, that... I kind of like Halladay and Hamels. His
play has never panned out well. To roll the dice. But for him, I don't blame him. Go for it. Sarah Bartlett in the news coming up at the bottom of the hour. Severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 9.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Looks like the words lat strain are coming out about Roy Halladay. 6 to 8 weeks. In other words, for the uninitiated, a month and a half to 2 months.
Yay.
And you're saying full court press on Roy Oswalt. He's going to Texas, brother. He's not going to Philadelphia.
Well, the Phillies called up catcher Eric Kratz.
Yeah, that ought to compensate for it.
Yeah, I don't get that. Somebody's got to explain that one to me. Let's see. Down a starter. Let's bring up a catcher. I mean, he's not a bad catcher. But I don't know. Well, I wonder. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you as I'm thinking out loud. Does this tell you that Carlos Ruiz's issue might be a little bit more?
No, he's day-to-day, but I think, you know, you want to have him up with you, you know, the additional catcher, because he can't catch for you right now. I mean, Halliday's not ready to pitch yet, so it's not his turn. So you can keep another catcher up there until it comes time to make a decision on what you want to do with his spot in the rotation.
That's true.
And his spot in the rotation doesn't come up for 3 days, so I think you'd like to have a backup catcher available.
Where do you go from here, though?
Behind Schneider.
If Oswald's out, if Oswald's out of the picture, which you feel he is, where do the Phillies go now?
Well, it's going to depend on how quickly you can get Vance Worley back. Because you can live with Lee, Hamels, Worley, Kendrick, and Blanton.
And Blanton, yeah.
Okay? It's now a question of how quickly you can get Worley back. So that's the question. You may have to fill a bridge for a couple weeks until Worley's ready to pitch, which means you're talking about 2-3 starts.
Trying to think when he's eligible. I think is it this week or early next?
It was 15 days retroactive. I remember somebody kept using the words retroactive.
May 12th. May 12th.
And he'd be eligible to come off now. Is he on 21 day? He's on 21 day. Or is he on 15?
I'll have to look that up. It just says DL. Yeah, I thought it was 15, but.
Well, it's 15. He's eligible now. If it's 21, it's June 3rd, right?
I don't know. That's more math than I can handle at this time of day.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Know your limitations.
Well, we won't be doing a lot of talking on this show then.
No. Oh, that's good. Thanks.
That's just cruel.
15-day DL is what it was listed as
He's eligible to come off now. Yeah.
Well, that would be a help.
Well, that's what I mean. It becomes a tremendous help. Now, it also puts a lot of strain in your bullpen because Halliday was an 8-inning guy. Worley coming off the DL, you're not going to feel confident in him going 8 innings. You don't feel confident with Joe Blanton going 8 innings, and you don't feel confident with Kyle Kendrick going 8 innings. You don't. You just don't.
Ryan Sandberg's got to be sitting down there in Lehigh Valley going, all right, who do you want off my roster this week?
Well, it's his job to send him off the roster.
What do I have to replace now?
I watched Lehigh Valley play Gwinnett last night for a period of time, trying to get a gauge on some of the Philly prospects. That was on Comcast last night, their game at the Gwinnett. Interesting. But there was nobody that jumped off the page at me that said they're ready to go. I didn't get that impression watching them. Not like they don't have bad prospects. But at the same time, I think some of their better ones are at Reading.
Yeah, you said that once before.
Long term. I mean, not now. They're not ready yet. So that's the situation that they're in. Our number 1-800-795-9565. What do you think the Phillies should do about Roy Halladay's spot in the rotation? What do you think? It's like it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks.
Matter of fact, I don't think there's a Philly or there's an Iron Pig right now that is a starter that's on the 40-man roster.
Right.
They have
but
a couple
remember
of relievers,
this.
But that's it.
The Phillies are 4 games out. 6 weeks would bring us to the All-Star game, right?
Okay. Get a couple extra days there.
All right. So you're talking about the possibility. Let's split the difference on the 6 to 8. July 20th. On July 20th, they could get back Roy Halladay, Chase Utley, and Ryan Howard.
Oh, to dream that big.
They could get all three of them back at relatively the same time. Maybe Utley first. I mean, and if they can hang within 4 games, which is where they are now, then they'll win it. As I told you earlier, 42% of the teams in first place on Memorial Day since the start of divisional play in 1969 have not won their division. 42%. Great example is Cleveland last year. Cleveland had was in first place, had a big lead in the Central. They had a terrible final two-thirds. Terrible final two-thirds. But again, this is something that fans have to remember.
Well, I mean, even though they're in last place, and we were talking about this earlier, at 26 and 24, there's not too many last place teams that are A, above 500, and B,
right,
4 games out of first place. I mean, you look at Major League Baseball right now, last place teams, Boston at 500, 4.5 out. Minnesota, right, 11 games out and with 16 wins. Seattle, 11 games out with 21 wins. The Cubs, 11 games out with 16 wins. San Diego, 16 games out with 17 wins. That's not bad. Last place and still be in the hunt.
Well, since 1995, this is 95 now, 42% have failed to win the division leading on Memorial Day. Okay. Amazing.
Well, and this year we have 2 more wild card teams, don't we?
2 more. Yeah.
So there's 3 wild card spots that are going to be up for grabs as well. And being 26, you know, being 4 games out and 26 and 24 isn't going to hurt you there either.
Right.
I mean, St. Louis has 27, San Francisco with 26. Let's see, who would be the other National League wild card leader now? The Mets. So you got Miami, the Mets with 27, San Francisco with 26, and Philadelphia's got 26 with Atlanta. And, you know, so even right, the wild card's not out of the question either at this point.
No, just get in, you can make things happen.
Right. Work
but
it
there have
there.
Been 97 teams, 97, on first place on Memorial Day. Okay, 97. Okay. 56 of the 97. Won the division.
That's a staggering number.
The other 41 did not.
I mean, I can't believe 50. I mean, staggering as in surprising that only that few.
That's right. That's why it's a long year. It's a long year. I mean, last year the Indians were 31-19 on Memorial Day. They went 49-63 the rest of the way. Oof. So don't hit the panic button just yet. I think it's been remarkable they've hung in there.
Well, you were talking about when you're talking to Wheels last hour. You said, you know, I think we'll be talking again in October. And Wheels kind of chuckled, but 4 games out.
Cole Hamels and Cliff Lee, and I know Lee hasn't won a game. I got it. But you know what he's done. They prevent long losing streaks. Okay, you have a legitimate closer now. You haven't had a legitimate closer in forever. And please don't give me the Brad Lidge stuff. Please don't bother me with it. Okay.
It was good for a year and a half.
One year he was tremendous, okay? All right. I'm sorry. He's not Mariano Rivera. He's not Jonathan Papelbon. One of the things that made the Red Sox competitive finally with the Yankees is they signed Keith Foulke in 2004, made him the closer. He closed all the big games, and they groomed Papelbon for it. And even in 2007, he saved three World Series games. Oh, and by the way, didn't give up any runs. He didn't go out there and give up a three-run save. Hey, okay, you know, I walked in with a four-run lead, won the game 7-6. Okay, great. Yeah, that's not a save. Okay, I know that's the kind of save Philly fans have been used to, but that's not really a save. I mean, other Major League Baseball teams have different ways of doing it. Okay? The guy you got now is legit.
Okay? You're just saying that because he was a former Boston guy.
No, I'm saying it because he's legit. Okay? Kidding. I mean, he's absolutely legit. He comes in and saves games. You get to the ninth inning, okay? For the first time in forever, when the Phillies get to the ninth inning and he walks in from the bullpen, everybody in that park thinks they're gonna win. The one time he did, and everybody walked away shocked. They couldn't believe it. Okay, the other guys you brought in over the years, you're like, oh, I hope he makes it. There isn't anybody who felt secure when he was brought in.
Just 1 year. That was it. Just 1 year.
1 year.
I felt real secure that year.
Yeah. And all the other times, no.
Every time Ryan Madsen came in, I got really nervous.
But when this guy walks in, you feel like you've got it wrapped. And it's not like Rivera's been perfect in his lifetime, because Rivera hasn't. The Red Sox, I think he has some like 15 or 16 blown saves against them. But that's just a period of pitching against one team over a long period of time. I mean, in 2004, they're one out away from getting to the World Series, and he blew the save when Billy Miller singled up the middle and knocked in Dave Roberts.
You know who Papelbon reminds me of on the mound, just with his routine, with his facial expressions? He reminds me of the big unit. He just looks that intimidating on the mound.
Well, he's right-handed. I mean,
I'm just talking about with the way he has his set routine. You know, the way he pitches. I mean, he'll get down, bend over, slowly lift the bill of the cap up. You know, it's mm-hmm. just the same routine. It's a very intimidating look if you're a batter.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. But the bottom line, he can pitch. Routine or no routine, he can pitch.
That helps.
You know, he can spot it at 96. He has a good split now, which he developed over the years. He had one rough year with the Red Sox. 2010 was not a good year for him. But all the other years, 11, he was great. 9, he was really good. 8, he was tremendous. 7, he was off the charts. 6, he was good. I mean, this guy has long-term success in this role, where he's been tremendous. He had one off year in 2010. And, you know, and the Red Sox flat out blew it by not tendering him a contract. They blew it. So he comes in the game now, they're all set. So our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. So in the middle of July, the Phillies may get back, about $45 million worth of players. How about that one? Not many people can say that. Not many people can say that.
I'm still trying to find out if there was any news on Worley yet today.
Well, just, I mean, Wheels gave us the news on it.
Well, I mean, anything that, besides what Wheels was saying, whether they were going to be able, whether he's going to be able to come back and what day they're looking at that. I haven't found anything on that yet.
Right. Well, now there's Scott Ellerton, the veteran, who's been everywhere in his career. Now, he's a guy that's been around the block. He's what, he's with Lehigh Valley now, right?
Correct. 5-2 with Lehigh Valley and a 3.44 ERA in 10 games.
Well, he's been through it, okay? I mean, this is a guy who, in the course of his career, has pitched with the Astros, the Rockies, the Indians, the Royals. Okay? Now, he hasn't pitched in the major leagues, though, since 2008. The last time he pitched in the major leagues. And it turned out he had a chance encounter with Ruben Amaro Jr. It's out of nowhere. They just ran into each other. So he said, oh, why don't you come in and, you know, we'll sign you a minor league contract and the whole thing. Now, the guy in his career, first of all, he's 36 years old. But I think in the short-term breach, at least he's been there.
At least he's comfortable.
Career 5.31 ERA, you know, you explain to me how comfortable.
Well, he's comfortable coming into a major league ballpark. He's not going to be in awe of everything. That's what I mean. Comfortable on the mound against a major league hitter, that's not what I was referring to at all.
Right. You know, and he's four games under 500 in his career. Now, he's 6'8". He's one of the tallest pitchers in the history of the game. Without question. Big fastball, 36, not completely washed up. And the fact he's been there, he probably is a guy that deserves a long look. You know? So.
I mean, maybe he's a short-term spot filler for the Phillies.
Well, he's a possibility. At least he's been there. He's a veteran.
I mean, you look at the Iron Pigs, and there's a lot of young guys there right now.
Sure.
And a lot of guys that I think they've experimented with in middle inning relief, but have not been overly ecstatic about.
Right.
But they haven't really done anything to go down to the minors to find a starter, and this may be a situation where they need to.
Well, maybe they'll have to, and he might be the guy. I mean, he had the thrill of giving up Derek Jeter's 2,000th hit, so.
Well, you know, at least you're in the record books or something.
Yeah. We'll wrap it up after this on WKOK. Roy Oswalt's talked to the Red Sox. He's worked out for them. He's worked out for the Phillies. He's worked out for Texas, and he's worked out for the Dodgers. Everyone seems to feel the front runner to get him is Texas. So if you're wondering about that option, Scott Ellerton, the veteran who hasn't pitched in the majors since 2008 in his life, he's gone through three shoulder surgeries, a broken foot. At one stage, after he retired, his weight ballooned up to 300 pounds. He is now pitching at a svelte 230 pounds. And at Lehigh Valley, he's actually pitched pretty well with a 3.44 ERA. So those are some of the options that are being discussed in the absence of Roy Halladay, who now may be out anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks with a lat injury, a lat strain. Now, Vance Worley has been out, but now he's starting to work himself back into the mix. And the door may be open for him to get back with the big club within the next 10 days.
Is there anything happening with the Yankees this year?
With the Yankees in what way?
Well, in any way, because the Phillies are making all the headlines around here. The Yankees aren't making any headlines anymore. It's starting to get a little disturbing. Every time I turn around, somebody from Philadelphia is hurt, but I never hear about hurt Yankees anymore. Wishing anybody to get hurt. I don't mean
any
that.
Any team that has to re-sign Andy Pettitte and then has a parade has issues. And Andy Pettitte in his prime was fabulous. His prime was a long time ago. They don't have Rivera. Huge. Robertson's hurt. Huge.
Well, Rivera's their own fault.
is
I know, I know, but I'm sorry. You're not going to change my mind on that one.
I'm sorry, but you can't put people in glass boxes all the time. The guy is out there. You know, you have to get your running in somehow. He could have been running in the outfield and doing exactly what Kevin says he should do and run into a drain.
I agree. And I would be fine. And that would be just one of those things that happens.
That's part of his routine of running for how many years?
I know.
Of tracking fly balls. You know, everybody does things in a different way. And I'll give you an example. Some people a few years ago criticized that they put Penn State's plays on a video game for some players to learn, right? Everybody learns in a different way. People get in shape in different ways. Some people need the incentive to run, and that was his incentive to run.
Should have run on the video game.
Oh, he landed wrong going back. Guy hadn't had an injury in forever. Kevin wants to put everybody in a glass box. Everybody be safe. Kevin wants you in a glass box on the way home.